This week on RSBNB Update, Necromancy sees its first major balance pass, and we look back at where the skill has been and where it may be going. We recap rituals as a skilling method, Necromancy's combat, and the effect the skill has had on PVM. Was it all worth it in the end? This is RSBNB Update, episode 958, recorded Wednesday, October 25th, 2023, Undead Reckoning. Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us for another episode of RSBNB Update. This week, you might recognize this panel. We got in addition to Tanis and myself here, we got Sirion with us, and Thaxi.
Hey. Good to be back.
And you guys will know what happened the last time we were on here, right? That's when Necromancy Chaos came out. It's been 3 months. We're going to do a 3-month retrospective on Necromancy, including the patch notes from this week. So look forward to that. But of course, I want to thank, before we get too far down the track here, I want to thank our experienced here Patreon members for allowing us to do what we do each and every week here at RSBNB Update, and that's Amos Reed, Andrew C., Drama Free, Jason S., Jesse W., Keski, Ricky A., Rippeth, Runestar, Seth W., and The Naked Captain. Big, big, huge thank you goes out to these people.
Thank you.
More on what they get later, and then what you guys can get to by signing up for our Patreon offerings. But of course, we're going to dive straight into the Necromancy stuff this week, and I invite you to follow along in the show notes at update.show. You can find us in-game at Friends Chat, Bits Bytes, and our Discord is at rsbnb.com/discord. Now, of course, I don't know if you guys need introductions, but Sirion has been with us for many moons. Thaxi came to us in the Elder God Wars and kind of formed an interesting panel that we thought we'd go with for Necromancy when that launched. And it's interesting that we're here for the Necromancy retrospective in addition to the Necromancy changes this week that effectively brought the hammer down on Conjures, I think is the best way to put this, right?
Or we're not the only ones that did a retrospective.
or just lands in the amount of time that the folks involved in combat at Jagex would need
quarterly
to
update
of, monitor the changes and make sure that they're hitting all the marks that need to be hit for this.
On the actual topic of what changed, to me, it doesn't... I mean, they nerfed the damage of Conjures somewhat, but the thing about it is that they also decreased the cost effectively, right? Like,
no,
it isn't like
cost.
They just said Conjures are no longer as powerful as they should be. It's Conjures are still as powerful as they should be, they just don't cost as much. And the thing that I think has really changed, and I was talking to you about this last night, is that they killed the pre-buff rotation, if that's a term that people can use, is that like they just completely removed the ability to like have so much upfront burst by having costless abilities for everything you can cast, right? Everything else in RuneScape, you spend ability, you have to have a target, unless you're doing some janky nonsense, which is fair. But in this case, you could spend a ton of adrenaline, get a ton of power, and then spend that going into a fight. And they completely, basically removed the ability to do that. They knocked out most of the pre-buffing you could do, right? You don't have to spend GCDs, like cooldowns, time summoning things anymore because you've got some undead army. And then they removed
unlocks
the adrenaline.
Unlocks at level 99, tier 7 talent tree.
Right. Well,
But yes. I mean, by the time you get to 99, you're going to have that. So it's fine.
Right.
It's fine.
And in terms of like doing endgame content where that pre-buff really mattered, you wanted the accuracy from kind of there anyways. So that's probably, to me, the biggest change. It's not so much that I wouldn't honestly say that they gutted Conjures unnecessarily. They made them appropriate for the cost, and they lowered the cost to nothing to make it a little more friendly to track.
Yeah, so the skeleton lost damage. Its damage range has been reduced to 22 to 28%, was previously 27 to 33%. And the buff scaling for the rage stacks has been dropped so that now it just increases the damage by 3%, which results in a 43.75% average damage compared to what would have been 55% before.
They effectively took 25% power out of the skeleton. It's a little bit less when you first conjure it, and a little bit more if it's been alive for a while.
Yeah.
But about 25%.
And for the zombie, they reduced the duration by 3 seconds, and this is in name of evening the conjure duration, so they're all the same. They made it walk, or they increased the move speed from walking to running, and they reduced the damage range of its poison from 27% to 33% down to 8% to 12%. So that's a fairly significant change there.
Right. And in addition to increasing the rate.
Yeah, and they also made it proc less often, but that's being reverted next week, so we'll see how that feels then. Its command ability can be cast without a target now, so it's just a big explosion in an AoE if you decide to blow your zombie up when you're doing some form of AoE. I guess that makes sense now.
I mean, if you look at the damage from it, very simply, it used to do about half of its damage from the AoE that it did, and now it does about 20% of the of its total damage from the AoE that it does. And then the vast majority of its damage is that explosion. The explosion's on a 30-second cooldown, and the resummon has no cost. So it's just a question of when you can spend the 2 cooldowns to blow it up and resummon it. You have a 12-second window from 30 to 42 seconds where you're able to blow it up, and then you just resummon it. And that's effectively like the way that the ghost is kind of going to be used now, or at least the design-wise.
You mean the zombie? You mean the zombie? Because that's what
yes, the zombie.
Yeah. Ghosty boy is up and next.
That explosion is primarily now the big damage portion from it.
Yeah, I haven't been using it.
Again,
that.
Rebalancing for the cost.
I haven't been using the explosion where I've been, but
it's a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, I should work that in.
10 to 20,000 damage. It hit caps.
Okay.
On everything in a scythe range of it.
All right, good to know. Good to know.
Yeah.
The ghost as well, all of them have had their adrenaline cost removed, so that continues. But the biggest thing here is that its heal has been reduced to 125%, was previously 175%, but the heal now happens on hit as opposed to on attack, which means that the heal will scale up based on your damage modifier. So as you do more damage, and as damage values go up over time, you will heal more.
Right.
I felt this one, and we'll get to that in the overall impact of everything that this had. But its conjure, I think, has drawn the most of the discussion this week because the change they made with its activation being a 30-second run window, that's being reverted next week to be for the entire duration of the ghost. But they also changed the effect from 100% of base damage up to a cap of 35% ability damage, down to 10% of base damage, up to a cap of 20% ability damage as bonus damage. And the idea behind this is that they didn't want it amplifying the small hits as much, but instead they still wanted to amplify those big, big hits that you see from things like your finger and whatnot.
I mean, which is just to say that they completely changed the ability, right?
Yeah.
Instead of every time you hit your target, you get X amount of damage, it's every time you hit your target, you get X percent of damage. And it's the amount of damage it does is very dependent on the size of your hits, the abilities you're using, what your rotation is, and what you were hitting before, right? Lower levels will feel this a lot more probably than higher level folks will, just based on things that it's doing.
Yeah.
And the, like, it's just, it's a very different ability, right? Because, again, they removed 70% adrenaline from the cost of just the command alone and 30% of cost just from the conjure. So the conjure itself is just it's a Healy bot now. It's a little weaker than it was, but like you're saying, it scales with procs. So its own command ability is a proc. So that adds 10% of the healing extra to it. In addition, things like the full book, that just flat up increases your damage done.
That, now that's an increase to heal.
Yeah, because the previously, I don't believe our conjurers really had a lot of those on-hit effects applied to them. Sounds like the ghost now does. And so
that's an interesting way of looking at it. And when it comes to the frame of these changes.
The invisible damage buff we get from overloads is another example where that's an on-hit buff that's applied that increases your damage by a certain flat value or percent. That'll apply to the ghost's healing as well. So like having an overload running will increase the amount of healing you get from the ghost. Same thing with like if they ever give us auras or the Slayer helmet add-on. If they do those kind of things for necromancy, those will also buff the healing you get from the ghost. So it gives it room to scale, whereas previously there was no scaling on it whatsoever. It could not power creep the amount of heals you get. As necromancy catches up and gets those buffs and things like the other styles have, the ghost healing will get more powerful.
Yeah, and you know, I think that's a good thing over time in terms of just, you know, adding some room to grow in the ability. And I've heard mixed opinions on this in terms of where everything has landed. But we'll just run through the other ones quickly first before we summarize everything and get on to the retrospective. They increased the life transfer duration from 20.4 seconds to 21 seconds, and this is just to make it consistent with the way the tool tip, or the hit splat presents itself. In game, and they also made it so that it's the amount of life points you lose is now based off of your base life points and not any extras that you might have had. So even if you're wearing tank armor and 15,000 life points at level 99, you'll now only lose 4950 life points, which is nice.
They made bonfire boosting a debuff. Boosting with necromancy was a straight up debuff before, so.
right?
Because you spent more life points than you gained.
Yeah. They increased the invoke death duration to 12 seconds was 6 seconds, and this is just to make it so that it doesn't need to be tick perfect on fight start for activating those for people who don't have it in their armor procs. Also fun changes. Necromancy shields will no longer cause conjured spirits to despawn, and those same shields are now classified as having an underworld connection, which allows them to maintain conjured spirits, but they can't be used to conjure them. So we now have an option to actually use real shields with necromancy. Yeah,
shield switching is back, baby. Necromancy's first switch. Let's go. I mean, shield switching. It's a shield. You want to be able to wear a shield.
We're not done yet.
Yeah, we're not done yet. Fix some issues related to death mark. That specifically an issue that could cause it to trigger multiple times, as well as an issue where the damage from the mark was delayed, and fixed an issue that allowed death mark's insta-kill damage to reflect at the player. We saw some funny videos of this in the Akamaru puzzle and jellies, didn't we?
Yeah, I think it may also have been able to trigger on Araxor when Araxor had 5k health left, and it would just cycle.
Oh, shit.
Oops. Like if you were on a web shield, you could insta kill yourself by hitting it when it was under 5k. I think I saw a clip of that somewhere. They may have fixed it, but
oops.
This definitely fixes that. So
yeah. Okay. So overall, I feel the changes on PVM have, in particular, Raziel, and that's my baseline for the week. Raziel, I was seeing about a 20 to 30 second increase in kill times, which amounts to about a 30 to 35% damage decrease in terms of what I was dealing with this week. And you know, we said necromancy needed these changes in terms of just the power where things landed. You did some testing with Slayer. Where did you come out on that?
Yeah. So again, what I feel like they did is they just completely removed that upfront burst, right? So like, of those 20 to 30 seconds you're getting, I'd be willing to bet that at least 15 seconds worth of that damage is just not having the upfront burst that you used to, right? The pre-buff aspect of that is gone.
Yeah.
And I think that for sustained damage, like if you're doing Slayer, if you're doing those kind of things, from what I saw, like Slayer, I noticed very little difference. I did some Arc Glacier, where obviously having a bit more of a dynamic rotation to react to things that are coming at you, at least for me, is helpful. And again, I was just like, I got up to like the 300 to 500% enrage kind of range when I was testing this. I didn't go crazy hard on it. And I noticed probably a sustained damage loss of about 15 to 20%. And again, losing that upfront burst really hurt. It definitely added that extra 10 to 15 seconds to my kill time as well. But I, from what I can tell, the sustained damage is down just from... is not huge, the sustained damage loss. I messaged you when you reminded me that the changes were up on Friday. Like what I wanted before I read them, I said, you know, I want, like, frankly, the damage on this dial for the average player is a little too high. I want, like, it would be reasonable to me to drop that by about 20%. And then I said I wanted them to standardize conjure duration, give us some way to view necrosis stacks, and, you know, like, just bump down the ghost conjure ability.
Yeah.
Yeah. And other than the necrosis stack changes to be able to kind of see that on easier on a UI, they did pretty much everything that I was looking for them to do. You know? They made those changes as they needed to. Yeah. Hello, doggos.
Let's just make just keep talking because I can remove that in his track. That's after fine. The fact. But and you know, I don't want to dive too deep into this because there's going to be more changes next week, and we'll get to that when those arrive, where these all land. But overall, I think it was changes that needed to be made, and it didn't, you know, outright clobber it for people who are just, you know, wanting to onboard with necromancy, and they didn't hit the big damage dealing things like finger and volume of souls and all that too much.
Yeah, like if you're doing a living death rotation, right? They removed adrenaline cost, so now every 2 minutes you effectively have 300% extra adrenaline you didn't have before because you're not spending it on conjures and their commands.
Yeah.
So now you've got all this extra adrenaline, you can actually do like a living death rotation, and none of the abilities buffed by that ultimate, none of them were touched at all. So all of the damage you could get from that and the priority you give to those abilities is now even higher. So that's still the same.
Yeah, and you know, I think that maintains the core essence of the skill, and in general what we've all been seeing since this first landed back in August. So,
you know, what's funny is, and we'll talk more about this, but these changes, for me, taking like a step back, I know everybody wants to hear how much percentage and how many, I know the minutiae is what people are really interested in, but when I can't believe how connected these changes are to what I think about the 3 month retrospective, and how, like, I'm like, holy crap.
Well, we need to get, really let's get into that then.
Because... reinforces what I think, you know, like,
oh, really?
Whoa.
That's interesting to hear that about where we landed.
Something. Yeah. I didn't see it yesterday. Okay. And then
so
Syrian, you wanted to,
I just want to tee this up and say,
like,
go ahead.
My concern with this is why now, right? That's the one thing I don't get. Like, this is the thing that kind of pisses me off about this update, right? Is clearly these combat changes weren't urgent enough to be done, like, right as part of the feedback cycles, right, at the necromancy, right? Like, this was fine, sort of acceptable for long enough to get us 3 months down the line. But now all of a sudden these changes need to go in. I remind you, we're halfway the embargo period. There's this whole, you know, competitive aspect around, you know, getting to 120 as quickly as possible. And I mean, sure, the people who care, they've gotten 120 necromancy by now. It's a really fast skill, but still, to me, it sort of opens up Pandora's box when you start thinking about this. And I, like, at the same time, overall, this is a nerf, right? Like, let's be honest, it's a nerf. Why are all the high score times still there, right? Like, now we can all say, like, oh, all those people who got those faster skills on these bosses, they are no longer possible because necromancy was nerfed.
They'll reset
How
the leaderboards.
So there's
that,
a,
to
there's,
be fair,
like,
the leaderboards are player controlled. They'll reset them when nerfs happen. They did the same thing when Gricko happened.
Yeah, like, it, like, these are the things, the fairness things, and then we get these changes, which seem rushed, right? Because next week they're changing again. And just the whole timing of it and the whole process around it, it feels like they're just crapshooting and trying to see what sticks, rather than having an idea of what needs to be done.
Can I propose just one small, just one thing with that. Like, I kind of agree with you, but at the same time, I'd rather have some kind of action than no action and then end up with another 4-tick auto attack. Right. Because they didn't move. Because people got it in their head, this is the way it's supposed to be, and no, it's not.
I wish we wanted to move on to the retrospective, but I want to like dive into this too just a little bit. Because my question for you, Sirion, because we've seen this before, right? We've been talking a lot about recently how they've had, like, they've put in changes to things that are, you know, rather immediate, right? There's been a couple examples of it recently that we don't need to go into, right? Where they're like 2 days later and they're making changes to things, even the things that they've already changed. And the alternative is, I remember a discussion we were having when the Greater Ricochet change happened, where we were talking about, okay, it's been 18 months. What were you doing in those 18 months? We all knew this was too strong and it took you this long to get here. What's a reasonable patch cycle length?
Whereas we're 3 months now.
Right. My opinion on this would be 3 months out, they've got a quarter worth of data because we know they collect all manner of data on things. 3 months to connect.
If there were bathrooms in RuneScape, they'd know how many times you flush the toilet.
Three months later, they have 3 months worth of data. And that's also 3 months where the style gets to be, let's be honest, maybe a little too powerful, but it draws people in. It says, hey, everybody's using this cool new thing. It must be good. It's the, like, you know, let's call it the sales period, regardless of whether or not that's healthy, right? Where they've done that. And now, to me, they've drawn back that power 15 to 20%, which gives them, you know, at least, which gives them room to put in the other buffs we're expecting. It gives them a reward space for, like, Slayer Helm add-ons that are going to pull that damage back up to be, like, well, not prayers, but like things that are going to like make it match the other styles. Like, that's my overall takeaway from this. My question for you is, what would you say is a reasonable, because we, like, I think there should be some balance updates. Do you agree with that? And if so, like, what do you think is a reasonable time frame for that feedback to come in? Like, would you rather see a 2-week or a month long patch cycle, or what are you thinking?
I mean, it's always a tough question. Like, the entitled version of me says, why was this broken to begin with, right? Like, I mean, Shane can attest to this. I have cursed, well, curse is a big word, but I have said, like, why do we even have a combat council if they chuck in changes and then revert them within 24 hours?
Because we don't have a beta server.
That sounds so predictable, right? Like, if it only takes 24 hours to find out how bad a certain update has landed, like, I like looking for positive sides of things, but I've been really struggling at figuring out, like,
I mean, one day later says, and they have a team dedicated to say, yeah, we know that some part of this is probably going to need some adjustment, and it sounds like they cleared some schedules this week to allow people to, like, make fixes and QA them. You know, like, they spent 3 months making big, deciding on big sweeping changes, and then they said, all right, we know some of this probably isn't going to land well. Yeah. Let's put some time aside to fix those things now. That's the only thing I can think of, because I thought that too. I'm like, one day later, that's crazy.
Yeah. But like, if you think about it in the context of the recent things, where Jagex has basically blown up the entire trust with the community, you need things to land well, right? Like, if you want to rebuild trust... Like, they are currently at the thinnest, most
They need to be careful with MTX and what they do with the things that people love. They do.
But, like, all the things. And now this, like, it just doesn't garner any trust, and that is problematic. But, yeah, like, overall, I agree, there need to be balancing changes, but I think balancing changes are so sketchy when you are purposely hyping up things with embargo periods
I've already been on record saying that this embargo period at this point needs to end right now.
That's what? So that, yeah, like, I
don't do that to me.
Yeah,
I'm sitting like 40 mil XP. I'm very happy to take the next 3 months to get my next 60 mil XP. Shane, don't do this to me.
I understand how you're feeling. I wish the archaeology embargo period had lasted for another year, but, you know. I mean, I get it, but, like, in this case, I'm almost feeling like if you are reserving 6 months as the competitive period, because that's essentially what it is, right? Like, either make the balancing changes right off the bat, because that way, you know, not a lot of people have gotten into it. It's relatively safe. Nobody has gotten used to it. Like, first 2 weeks, maybe even the first month, fair right. game, right?
Right.
Fair game. But we're now halfway the embargo period. At this point, I mean, communicate it, maybe even put it on the beta server, but hold the change until the end of the embargo period is almost what I want to say. It, like, I understand it's a 20% power creep, right? But all the damage that could have been done has been done already. Like, you can't convince me that the next 3 months will significantly make the problem worse than what we have in the last 3 months.
Okay, that's an interesting idea.
And that is why I find the timing right now odd.
Or sus, you could
because
say.
Because it feels like you get the worst of both worlds.
I wonder could if they were doing it before the next boss came out.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm just wondering if it's because they're so nervous. We know that when they get nervous, they get a reactionary, and they knew that if you leave something too long with this community, then that's it. It can never, ever, 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 ever,
look at you, Greco,
be changed.
No, 40AA. Yeah. That's a big one.
But like, and maybe you say, like, you have a good point. Maybe they want to get it in before the next boss. Very reasonable, very, very reasonable argument. But then I wish they would just tell us and say, you know, we designed this boss with different power levels in mind. We just need to change this right now. If they told us that, my respect and my trust level would go up, right? Significantly.
Like, I mean, it's also a question of, like, to me, these changes make it more learner-friendly. Like, especially the stuff coming in next week. And we can talk about it more when we talk about those changes.
Yeah, that'll be next.
I think part of it is making the skill feel good and work and look good. You know, it felt good because it has so much damage before. But they need, like, to make it, you know.
I mean,
I don't know.
This is all no longer relevant, right? Because they are rolling back some of the changes. But we're saying
the
this makes
the
skill
still there.
More learnable.
Main one's a ghost.
Shush! They're making the changes, like, more learnable, maybe. But also you now need to juggle another conjure, right? With the changes of this week, you had to... Well, the command, sorry. You had to now also juggle the command. Sorry, I need to
they thought ahead on that one.
and then they immediately rolled that one back. Like, that feels like an old change, and that feels so obviously... Like, spoiler, I think there's a resource management problem with this skill, and it amplified the problems that this skill has, right?
Oh, it did something like that.
Oh, well,
let's get
into where we've been with necromancy, and that kicks off the retrospective, because I think we could talk about this until we're blue in the face, and it's going to be interesting, I think, to compare it with the with the changes to the other styles coming next week and seeing where everything lands. And Tanis, I feel like our best bet here would probably be to start off with you, because you had an expectation going in. I don't know how much of that was met, and I don't know where you're at today with necromancy.
So necromancy as an overall skill, I still enjoy. As a combat skill, it's, you know, it is on par. It's, you know, but notice it's on par, the same. And the changes that were made this week brought it even more in line with just traditional RuneScape combat. It's just the same damn thing now. And I thought going in that maybe this would be a different style in the way that it would break some molds, maybe even make it easier for people to play combat. What I found was it made it fun. There was some fun stuff, and I love all the periphery stuff. I'm not talking about that right now, but it did not fundamentally change the way that I experience combat in any way, shape, or form. And I feel like these changes this week just amplify that. So that's okay. where I am.
Sirion?
Yeah, it's interesting because it's very closely related to how where I sit on necromancy right now. So yeah, for reference, I'm not 99 necromancy. I'm not 103. I'm 85 necromancy right now. After 80, it's sort of I haven't really done much of it. For me, I mean, I went into this very skeptical, right? Like necromancy from the get-go, it just didn't mesh with me, right? Like it didn't click, right? I wasn't.
You're more
excited.
Of a go dig in the dirt kind of guy than play. With
I
skulls.
Am more of a go dig in the dirt. I mean, that also archaeology sounded dusty, right? Until I played it, right? Like that for me, archaeology. The moment I got my hands of it was the turning point. So ever the optimist, I tried to do the same with necromancy. I had seen a bunch of videos and stuff. It wasn't.
Rituals weren't the dig site you expected.
No, but I tried going into it positive as well, right? I was like, okay, I may not ever have given EOC combat an honest chance. I've learned a lot about it in the past few years. I just want to try again, right? Like, this will be different. It will be learner-friendly. It will have a better way of, you know, onboarding me. It will have all the lessons of the past few years of game design, of combat design incorporated. It will not make any stupid mistakes.
Wow,
I would argue it's done a lot of those things.
I mean, it's doing a lot of things right. But ultimately, it wasn't game changing for me. So, like going back to archaeology, I know from the get go we said nothing will ever compare to archaeology. I necromancy doesn't compare to archaeology, but the way archaeology was groundbreaking, no pun intended. I just realized that the way archaeology was groundbreaking. Was mostly because it told me, like, this is, if Jagex releases a skill in 2020, this is what a skill looks like. This is taking the best bits of all the past content, right? Like, it took elements of the mining and smithing rework. It took elements of what they learned from divination. It took so many past lessons incorporated in one, and it is the best incarnation of a skill ever, right? And I was hoping necromancy was the same. It would be groundbreaking for me. It would tell me this is combat at its best, right? At its very best.
Right.
And I go in there. It's not doing it for me. It's
That's
not.
Fair.
It feels like there's some unique things, but I'm juggling five different kind of resources. It feels overly complex. And all in all, it doesn't actually feel that different from magic or ranged.
Okay.
It doesn't do enough for me to tell me it's better.
Sure.
Fair.
I think part of that too comes down to the type of skill you want to do, right? Like archaeology took the best of honestly three of our four skill trees. It took the best of like it took a lot of learning from the things that were wrong with gathering, the things I mean, other than competitive resources, I still don't understand that. And and like production, right? It took the production time down on things and it made you actually want to do it. And then support skills. It added in a set of buffs that were generally like that are useful, that we consider useful, that we value changing and using and those kind of things. And so it does those things without making them feel forced, right? It's not like a lot of our support skills, you look at it and you're like, oh, these are awful to train. The buffs are kind of helpful, but these are awful. Like archaeology feels fine to train, and then the support aspect is just the reward for that. Versus necromancy tried to do that, but just with combat. You could make a support argument, but you'd be pushing it.
Well, I mean, there's still the gathering or artisan, I don't know which category aspect in rituals. I haven't even gotten started on that. So,
and that to me is where necromancy does shine and did shine. Because I feel like a lot of what you described with archaeology, we get some of that in necromancy. just not the actual nuts and bolts combat. We get that with, we get a groundbreaking system of the way that we can do our armor. I enjoyed the lore in the quest, and that was cool to have that intertwined with the skill, much like archaeology did. There were a lot of cool things in necromancy, a lot of things that really, really worked. For me, the only thing that didn't work was the same combat.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And they tried to fix the adrenaline issues and a lot of stuff, and they didn't address, you know, things that you, maybe your other players were struggling with as they came on.
Yeah, and I think it's it boils down as well to where we all came in on the skill as well. And I think my perspective gets very interesting on this, because before this, I had Reaper Crew, and that was a new advent as of Elder God Wars. And I've since hit like level 116 or something like that, necromancy, and I'm just taking the rest really slow now to 120. And I've been using it to such a point where when we had our little Thok event going on, I was you know, camping Raziel for like 2+ hours a day, and at this point I'm upwards of 600 kills in and two items away from completing the log there. So it's interesting from that perspective for me, in that what it has done, what necromancy has done for me, is that it's shown that everything in the skill that we got is nice and it's fine and it's easy to get into. I see that. But the thing that I came away from on this, and maybe it's a page that the three of you who have spoken so far have said, is that it's still the same tick-based combat system underneath everything. And the things that annoyed me before about PVM still annoy me.
The tick-based system gets too much hate. I can't believe I'm the one saying this, but like...
Are you okay? Like,
people get too hung up on the whole tick system. Like, yeah, it has its problems, right? It causes its limitations, but that's the game. And like, I've understood since that people actually like working around limitations, and they get a sense of how much it takes them to. Like, you can do so much within the tick system that is wildly different from the current combat system that would still work. So I don't think we should get held up on the fact.
No, this wasn't meant to be. This wasn't meant to be a thing against the tick system. It was just meant to say that I came into it knowing, you know, enough about how to be dangerous, and this just made me more dangerous. And it really didn't, you know, I can see how it might be easier for some people, but it really, you know, it didn't help me in terms of.
Well,
making that ramp less steep. I think one of the things it's probably done is given me a combat style that I could go full manual with.
Right. Well, and the question too is that, like, does that, like, if it's something you can go full manual with, is that something that is on its own, like mission accomplished, right? Because even with the tick system, like you said, like they talked about with this style, they could have made skills that had a 2-tick or a 4-tick or a 5-tick global cooldown. And they said, no, we're going to stick with the 3-tick global cooldown because it would feel too different. It wouldn't translate to the other styles. And that's the question then is that, is this, like, if this is supposed to be the style that is the best of the setup, like, does this tutorialize the other styles in some way with that, you know, that 3-tick system? Like, is that going to help you elsewhere? Like, if you're going to do Legios, where
no, I don't think
you need
would.
To constantly be running, yeah. And you know,
yeah. What about you, Thaxi? Where are you at, and what did this do for you? What did necromancy do for you?
I mean, I'm definitely in the camp of Tanis, where based on where I was in my RuneScape journey, I needed armor that was cheap that I could craft myself that was going to be powerful. Like, that was great for me. And I really enjoyed that aspect of it. And I like the flexibility of the bars. Like, to me, it gives me something that, like, I actually have meaningful choices to make when I'm setting up a rotation. It didn't, obviously, it's more complicated than saying, put these abilities in this order and you're good forever. right? This is when I do different Slayer tasks at different levels of difficulty. When I go to bosses, I use different bars. I actually have keybinds now for two different necromancy bars based on whether or not I'm in living death or not, because I need to prioritize different skills and I'm a lazy person who likes Revo. Like, to me, having that extra thought to put into it, to me as a player, I like that more. It didn't simplify it, for sure. It made the learning experience worse, but I would also argue that, like, there are ways to set up bars for all three other styles, especially if you're a new player who's using Revolution, or if you're an old school transfer, whatever it is, that you can do awful damage. Like, your bar alone can decide way more than it should. Versus in Necromancy, yeah, you put the abilities on your bar, and as long as you're doing something, you're probably putting out decent damage. They removed a lot of that, like, these abilities are just, you want to use them as little as possible. And Necromancy doesn't have that necessarily, like, unless you're putting bloat first on your bar and you're spending all of your adrenaline casting bloat every two ticks, like that's it. That's the only way you screw this up, frankly. Like, that you can't cast the conjures when they're on cool. Like, they made it, I don't want to say stupid proof, but like, they made the style a little bit easier to use, but they also added in flexibility and thought with it by balancing the abilities better. And I like that as part of my journey. Like, that's, I take that away from it well.
Okay.
My part of the journey, again, mostly Slayer, a little bit of combat. I've done a truly gross number of rituals probably at this point.
Yeah, and that's actually, like, that AFK content. And that's actually something that was one of the most most divisive things on start was, you know, where do rituals land with this? We saw the huge nerf hammer come down on the ritual random events and such, and they acted relatively quickly to address the accessibility concerns when rituals were happening, which was good. I actually took Sirion's advice and I went back and I listened to our episode on this. And a good portion of our issues with the rituals were around the UX stuff, which was fixed in the second or third week after that. So that was appreciated, especially on the random events, like how quick they
were. Here's a question for you guys, though, is because they've talked about this, and this is super exciting to me, but I'm interested to see where you guys land on it. If they were to make a new ritual site, say, like, they talked about blood. If they made a blood ritual site somewhere, or if, like, next cycle, next year's story, they took us to, you know, because we're overdue to do with whatever is happening with Zatak and Zaros and these people that have just vanished into the ether. Like, what if we had an underworld, the Zaros themed, because we've gotten the, like, good normal person afterlife with death in the city of What if they took us to the other afterlife for the next necromancy and we got a new ritual site there with a new set of unlocks? Would you guys be mad about having to do more rituals at a different place, right? Like, considering this, like, a dig site expansion, right? Like, use
I said in the original episode that it was a lost opportunity to not have multiple ritual sites, and it sounds like a huge reward space. I think we're at a point where it's gonna suck for a lot of people if they have to go and do all the ritual grinding after getting 120 necromancy, which is why I think it's sort of a missed opportunity to not have multiple ritual sites at launch.
Sorry for interrupting you. I also think if they would have added more ritual sites, I think it would have really
sent the message home that
rituals are a skilling method.
Yes, which is true, because they kind of promised it and they didn't follow up necessarily on that. It's definitely one of those, like having four dig sites. Imagine if we'd only had Karadet on release, right? Like, that's kind of what rituals feel like to me. It feels like there's a space there that maybe wasn't used as much as it could have been, because, like, we know so many people who, like, the problem right now to me is that you can spend money on rituals, which is effectively what you're doing, spending ink and things. It's not huge, but it's something, versus doing combat where you're going to be earning money most of the time. But you can spend money on rituals to have a, air quotes, more relaxed and equivalent XP rate, right? Like, the XP rates on them are still good. Like, unless you're at a spot where you're specifically grinding, but compared to doing, like, Slayer or bossing, rituals are probably going to be better XP rates right now. And so, like, the grind to 120 is, like,
it's if rituals.
You want to do it in some AFK efficient way, it's rituals.
Oh yeah,
which keeps that part of the skill alive, but it doesn't like. If I do rituals to 120 and they make another ritual site after I'm 120, which is likely,
you might be
mad. Not going to be happy to do it again.
What were you
going to
say?
I mean, I fully intend to, once I get level 90 necromancy and get access to the bigger ritual site, to just screw all combat.
Camp it.
And camp it at a ritual site, which, and don't get me wrong, I actually feel sad about this. Like, I had hoped that the skill would have actually made me do Slayer and made me enjoy combat, and it just doesn't.
I mean, the combat is faster at like four places which are busy and with a very specific setup.
Exactly. Rituals, I can do semi AFK while watching Netflix a little bit easier.
I'm watching Critical Role while I do them. Yep.
And combat, I mean, at least for me, I need to be a little bit more. So, it's all nice and well. I mean, again, necromancy didn't click partly because the whole theme around necromancy and undead, it just never appealed to me. I'm not that edgy.
the Reaperhood with the skull mask didn't do it for you, Sirion?
No, and I would have loved to just see more environments, I think, and more creative applications.
I think what you're honing in on is what we say when necromancy is not archaeology, in that if that even one extra ritual site existed, we would have had a different opinion and a different take on rituals as part of the combat or as part of the skill.
Maybe. What if, right? It's a what if discussion that I can't.
I mean, I think it says something that going to any world right now on the ritual site, you can usually find 5 to 10% of that world's population at the ritual site. I think that says something. It is a new skill. People are still training it. But the fact that it is such a hub and an activity that people are doing, and that is the only place it can be done, is an opportunity missed.
Right, that's also that social skilling side that they wanted to, you know, funnel people towards.
Which is nice, right? Like, the fact that there are, like, that side of it I do actually like. That, like, there were conversations, sometimes trolling a little bit, but...
When there's a lot
objection.
When there's big portions of RuneScape population in one place, it gets ugly really quickly.
People are memes in this game sometimes.
But that doesn't happen at RuneFest, and there's large portions of RuneScape's population.
Yeah, because they're face to face.
Yeah, because they can get punched. Yeah.
Exactly.
There's no real life mute button other than, you know, problems. But like, and RuneFest is obviously, it's a different part of the community necessarily.
Yeah,
the people that are going to be causing problems are not necessarily the people going to RuneFest.
Yeah. Okay,
I mean, even not on a on a personality or trolley side of things, like, bad things happen when a lot of RuneScape's population end up in the same spot.
It is. I've seen some good wholesome conversation, just, you know, not as many as I would have appreciated, right? Like, it's not the game it used to be.
Right, but it makes it harder to...
That's so popular.
Yeah, but I mean, just like with those random events, like, the more people you have, the harder it is for me to be able to tell what's going on. I mean,
the wilderness events, the pumpkin parties.
I'm perfectly happy playing like it's a first person game, and I have a clan chat where I can, you know what I mean? Like, that's,
right.
And at the same time, I think when archaeology came out, arguably for a shorter period of time, but even in archaeology, there was social interaction at the excavation site.
Oh, for sure.
And like when then Orphan came out, like, there were a lot of people in those free hubs.
Well, that's what I'm saying, is that, like, there's such a large portion of the population right now. I think you'd still get a mass of people enough to have a conversation if you had a second or a third ritual site.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that would have, you know, given people, like, I'm interested in seeing what the, like, Lunars and Ancients equivalent of necromancy is, because they said that it's on the table, and that sounds so incredibly dope to me. I know we're doing a retrospective, not a prospective here, but in terms of that, I would have loved to see some of that up to this point. And right? I'm excited
to
see
what I wanted,
when they get there.
And that's what I wanted us to pull out of the skilling method here, is that as rituals, is that they're a start, and they're how we're all training it to 120. But it just would have enriched the skill so much if there would have been that second or third ritual site, I think.
Yeah.
And I feel that's what it comes down to.
I feel they added a lot of depth and complexity to the rituals just to keep them interesting from like level 1 to level 120. Like if you think about the archaeology thing, you click. Sorry, that's it. You click, right?
You follow the time sprite.
You follow the time sprite. That's the level of engagement. For the entire rituals have like 5 layers of complexity to the point that they needed to tutorialize it like quite extensively. And even then, you know, you're sitting there with a calculator figuring out glyphs and combinations and all that.
We were doing the same thing with archaeology. We have spreadsheets from archaeology. Don't say we didn't do that. Hold up now.
I did that. But I'm also a very particular kind of player. So
that's why we're having this discussion. Well,
that's
right
the
now.
Thing is that. That skill gave that opportunity to the players who were skillers. They made those spreadsheets. They could do that thinking ahead and that kind of thing. In this case, it gives that to the combat players, and the combat players are also like, it's faster to do the skilling method, so I'm going to do that. But like the theory crafting in this is going into the rotations, not the dig sites.
I mean, I want to limit ourselves to rituals right now, which is in archaeology, it feels optional. You can just go there. Like, it might not be the best money or the best XP rate, but you can just go to an excavation site, get your shit, then follow, like, figure out what materials you're missing, get those, and you're done, right? You don't have to be like me, where you min-max it, so you have the minimum kind of time spent at material caches, right? You don't have to. The skill still works. For necromancy, you have to figure out that puzzle of where to put the glyphs where, and you can do it fine and sort of inefficiently, but it feels much more forced upon you. Like the complexity is less optional because you're dealing with all of these glyphs you need to write down. And like,
that's true.
Part of me feels like, why am I going and figuring out which glyph goes where? Like, why does the game not just do it for me? Like, why can I not click, I want to do this ritual, and it fills the glyph spots for me?
So, because, I mean, Sirion, what do you mean by that is my question. Because, like, the glyphs can literally go anywhere, and it tells you which ones you need.
Yeah, but then I need to go and do the busy work of putting them there. And if I am not smart enough and doing it in, like,
you're basically saying that you want, if it says you need, if you want 3 alteration, 3... a number of charge, a number of multiply, you just want
them
to
down for
put
me.
Them down.
Well, it's so here is valid, but here's my other feedback for you is that I think that that's really good feedback for early and middle game. I think once you hit 90, I do the same ritual hundreds of times.
Yeah, it
in
doesn't
a row.
Change.
And true. So I will just kill all my glyphs every, like, if I'm, like, when I get to, like, I know that there's a 36 glyph rotation and I have them all on that rotation, right? Like,
yep, I know.
That's what I would say is that for early levels, I was reusing glyphs for different things. And like you were saying, I had to repair a glyph every ritual, and it was like keeping track of things. Now, nah.
That's fine.
I touch the pedestal once every 9 rounds, and that's it. That's my rotation.
But I feel it forces that complexity on you. Like, I don't know if it's like, I didn't have fun managing those glyphs, right? That to me was not the fun aspect of the skill. And to me, I feel a little bit like, why add all those extra steps? Why add that busy work? Because the majority of the time is clearly meant to be standing on the altar and waiting for randoms to show up.
Right. So if that was the activity, you just click the altar and then you click the randoms. And when you're done, you just click away from the altar. Would that be that enough? Like,
no.
That's problematic in itself. We would say that's not busy enough, though.
No, that's probably not enough. That is what archaeology is, though. And archaeology gets away with it because
it has
more than one spot.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That is sort of the full cycle I'm trying to make. I feel they tried to make up for the variety by throwing a bunch of mechanics at it.
And now let's also not forget, and I'll come to you, Tanis, after I say this, let's also not forget that shortly before launch, there were also negative effects if you didn't respond to those random events. So how would we feel if that would have come into the game?
We would have been angry. We can move on. That's, yeah.
Yeah, but like to me, that shows the undermanned, like the ritual stuff. Like, it doesn't feel well thought out and feels like. I don't know what to think of it, but it feels like it is trying to be fancy, and it's hiding in layers of complexity.
There you go.
Is that where you were going, Tanis?
Well, it's related. Because it is complex, and it's almost like it's too cute by half. And what I learned, because they did react to the accessibility concerns and stuff, but what I learned was, turns out it's not just accessibility, but it was actually design choice that I don't, I didn't really like. A time sprite is the same time sprite. Whether you have 10 people or 50 people or 100 people, right. Time sprite is still there. You just rotate your camera. The random events are just, to me, it's a step beyond the engage gameplay. A Rocketunity makes sense, right. And it's just enough. This is a whole different thing. And the minute that I heard about random events, I was worried about this part of it. And, it proved out to go exactly kind of how I thought it was going to go. And, even though with all the changes, like, they're all good, they're greatly appreciated, but I still do rituals as if there's...
As if there's no random events, you just do them AFK.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, that's an option, too. That's that low engagement method of gameplay on that.
The challenge is how much XP they built into them.
Yeah,
like Tanis is saying, he can do them for that, but it's hard. It's going to be hard for him to.
I want to thank some Patreon supporters. Is there anything else on rituals before I do that from anybody? Okay. I feel like we've kind of honed in on the issue with rituals as it is, and how they could be made a better skilling method, and just some of the things that just.
We demand more ritual sites. World 66 Riot.
Yeah.
Let's have a ritual site at Guthix Shrine and bring him back. The ultimate necromancy.
Yo, wait, that could be kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's a big old area. I mean, lock more content behind the World Wakes? What a great idea.
All right. Well, this week I want to thank these people that let us do what we do here each and every week. Our next monthly bit is going to be on fixing Slayer, which people might say is something that needs to be done, might say that's something that isn't needing to be done, but nonetheless.
I can preview that monthly bit for you really quickly.
Yeah.
How to fix Slayer, select, hit the delete button.
No, good. My baby!
All right.
Well, how can you fix something that ain't broken?
Oh, that's the discussion we're going to have. This week's episode of RSBNB Update brought to you by Alvaro L., Amos Reed, Andrew C., Arvids L., Chubura, Chunk the Monk, Dominic R., Drama Free, Duramax, Free Milk, Jacob G., Jade Gizmo, Jason S., Jeebus, Jesse W., Keski, Ling01, Nate the Great, Nick G., Parnassius, Renhawk, Ricky A., Rippeth, Runestar, Samuel FL, Scott DS, Seth W, Shirt Pants, Tabby, The Naked Captain, The Dabbing Goat, Tim, Tom V, Ukulele Steve, and Zant. Big huge thank you goes out to all these people for allowing us to do what we do here each and every week. It means the world to us, and you can sign up at patreon.com/RSBNB for as little as $1 a month, and in doing so you gain upwards of 60 plus bonus shows of RSBNB Update, including that one that's going to be coming out in a couple weeks' time. About how to fix the Slayer skill, and of course that also means I need to make the case about why it's broken, so we'll recap on that too. But yes, we also have other ones like there, such as our tier list, our discussion on Legacy Combat from way back when, that was a famous one. Holiday events, since we're heading into that time of year right now, and so many other little episodes like that talk about one thing in depth for an hour. It's a good way to spend some time with your favorite RSBNB Update co-hosts. We also have the VIP tier for $3 a month, where you receive a special VIP rank on Discord, including chat channel access, and you get a mention on the podcast at the start of the month. Now, we also, of course, have our insider tier for $5 a month, where you receive a shout-out on the podcast each and every week and gain exclusive access to the outtakes we use to make the clip show at the end of the year. And those people in that tier also receive the RSBNB update Christmas card, which, you know, we're heading into November, so good time to be signing up for that one if you haven't already. And, of course, we also have the experience tier, which is presently sold out, which you get the shout-out at the start of the show, and you get to come and listen to RSBNB Update live and spend some time with us in pre-show. But, of course, we couldn't do this without all of our Patreon members, so a big, big, huge thank you goes out to all of them. Thanks so much, everyone.
Thanks.
All right. Okay. So. Oh, yeah, that's last year's, isn't it? You keep that on your desk. We can't hear you.
Yeah, I keep cards on my desk.
Nice. Nice. All right. Anything else on rituals, or are we good to talk about the stabby stab part of the skill?
You asked that before the Patreon.
I forgot. I got so excited talking about Patreon.
I think we're good. Let's talk about the stabby shooty bits.
And there is a holiday event going on right now, but we all forgot.
We talked about it, right? On the show last week? No,
last week. I know.
Yeah, we did.
All right.
It's like, holiday time.
Did we? Do we have patch notes in for this week? It's worth noting from the patch notes that they made the pumpkins bigger, and I'm very grateful.
Yeah, we have patch notes. I just didn't put them in the main notes, but I have them ready to go.
Cool.
Necromancy combat rotations.
Stabby shooty bits.
I feel like I'm going to say something controversial here.
Hit me.
Well, maybe not controversial to you.
Uh-oh.
But I feel like necromancy, if it accomplished one thing, it made it so that anybody can go and build a revolution bar or any kind of action bar and do damage.
Yeah.
That's what I was wondering. About.
I want you to go to Berthorpe right now. I want you to talk to there is a person in just inside the gate in Berthorpe next to the combat tutorial who will set your action bar for you. The default action bar for the game for the three previous combat styles. I want you to look
awful.
At that action bar. Yeah,
yeah, they're awful.
They are.
Yeah, no,
I do not think it is possible to make a worse action bar. Like, you could change, like, flip two of the abilities, and I think you'd have it. But it is so close to the worst possible thing. You can make a bar that is objectively awful. On necromancy, I do not believe you could stick the skills on your bar in an order that doesn't work. Like, I think if you only have spenders on your bar, that's entirely on you. And you didn't read
I'll go back to Sirion on this, but what sells me on it is that you can have the simplest of action bar being just your basics, and then when you feel like you want to burst the damage, you fire off one of the spenders, either the Necrosis spender or the Soul spender. Or you can start working those actual spenders into your bar, and then you can add your skeleton onto your bar as well. And That's one of the things that I think has been consistent throughout this entire thing, is that if you want a simple action bar, it's necromancy. You can't go wrong with whatever you do.
Even more than that, to me, like, and this is an odd thing to say, it works on mobile. If you want a fully functional action bar to AFK with on mobile with the other styles, the mobile action bar isn't long enough. With necromancy, it's long enough. And your auto attack is powerful. So even if you don't have anything in your action bar, you're actually still doing fine, which is really funny. But
yeah, I beat my best Hermod time that I got on desktop on mobile.
Again, like, there's only so many abilities. It's you don't have to worry about the complicated switches. It makes sense that it works.
Okay, Sirion, tell me why I'm wrong.
I mean, it's not necessarily false what you're saying.
Okay.
But we are basically we're saying if you just put some random abilities on the bar, you're going to be fine.
That's true.
That's true.
That's true.
I believe you. I cannot objectively say what's good or bad because I don't know the details.
It's hard to make a bad ability bar with necro. It's really hard. Look, again, unless you have bloat first.
Or finger first.
Well,
first is honestly still fine.
But couldn't we put it this way, that it's hard to make a bar where you're not going to do some damage, but it is hard to get the upper echelon of the skill. That's why,
and that's the thing.
Well,
to hit that upper echelon, you got to go manual.
And you just don't see, like, that's why I think people that were already good were that much better with necromancy.
Yeah.
But if you weren't good to begin with, you didn't magically become good.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
What bothers me?
I think a lot of people did magically become good.
Okay, what bothers you, Sirion?
What bothers me most is not necessarily the fact that I could just chuck things on it. That's not the, like, that might be objectively the thing, but subjectively, you're there and you're looking at a pretty complex set of different things you sort of need to mesh together, right? Like, if you look at magic, there's really only one resource you're managing, unless you also count prayer and hit points, but for the sake of argument,
it's just adrenaline.
It's just adrenaline. For necromancy, it's adrenaline. It's necrosis. Mm-hmm. It's souls. It's your conjures. It's your conjures.
That's true.
Right? You're managing all
you
of those.
And this week also your command uptimes.
That's why
only for
I
this
hated,
week. We're gonna just.
That's why I hated that change. I'm glad they're reverting it. I will not hold it against the skill because they're reverting it.
Good.
Right?
For the first time ever, RuneScape has uptimes. For the first, like, unless you were using special attacks and switches and stuff, RuneScape for the first time ever has uptimes, and you have to manage your uptimes.
Exactly.
That's true. And,
to me, that it feels like they added too many new... Like, I'm curious why we have Necrosis and Souls... I mean, conscious, okay, I get it. Mm. They're a separate thing. But why do we have necrosis and souls and adrenaline, right? Like, imagine this. Imagine if necromancy didn't have adrenaline and had it completely replaced with necrosis and souls, right? Like, that would have made it different.
But necrosis is adrenaline, to be fair, right? Like, in practice, necrosis and adrenaline are functioning the same.
They're just orthogonal to each other. So why do we need both, right? Like, to me... I wonder the necessity of this, right? Like, it is a lot of mental overhead for me, and it is what is causing me to sort of move away. I'm like, you know what? I wanted to give this a chance, but I don't want to do math homework when I'm playing, right? Like, I don't want to be juggling all of these... Okay, I say that. I make spreadsheets for this game.
I'm like, are you okay?
And to just further this point, you know, and I wanted to go into the resource generation game. There is an add-on for Alt 1 called the Necro Job Gauge that measures summon conjures in remaining time, residual souls, bloat, necrosis, living death, as well as adding some audio cues for it.
I'm genuinely, and this is, I can't be certain, but I have a strong suspicion that if they made the UI for how much necrosis I have and how much soul stacks I have all really clear in one place, right? And at that point, it could be much more responsive for me to be like, oh, I have 6 necrosis. Now I need to scan my buff bar.
That's which has worst. It's literally the worst.
Which is like, because there's 2 conjures on there for me, usually. That's going to be 3 soon, probably, with Undead Army.
So
there's Prayer, there's Overload, there's at least 10 icons on there.
So here's what they did with Undead Army, Sirion, which I don't know if you'll like this. I'm interested to hear your opinion on it. It's only activatable if it can be used. It can't resummon things early. So it's only activatable when one or more of your summons are down. So you could literally just have that button, and when that button is lit up, you push it, and it resummons your things.
But it's not in the same UI, right? Like, my problem, and it's also my problem is not necessarily hitting the resummon, right? It's more...
It shouldn't take...
My necrosis,
It shouldn't take a plug-in or an add-on to create a UI for us to do this. It should have been part of the skill at launch.
Exactly. I think like the visas management itself, it stinks, right? And I will explain that because like people are going to say that that means it sucks. No,
it's engaging.
It's smelly in a game design sense of things, right? Because it feels like there's this whole concept, right? Where when you start with any skill, mm-hmm. you do simple problems and you find simple solutions for them.
Okay.
And then you go up a step and you have complicated problems and you come up with complicated solutions. But that's not where the skill curve ends. The skill curve ends when you have complicated problems and you come up with simple solutions, right? Like that's the ideal case, because in a lot of times there's a usually complex problem and the solution is something that people say and look at it and like...
I'm going to add a framing to this, and I'm going to make this a mental problem for you. The goal... So there's two ways to look at this for me, right? RuneScape has laid back AFK gameplay, the true mm-hmm. idle clicker original that the community, like a lot of the community does and wants. And it has lean in gameplay, right? The like, mm-hmm. you want to feel engaged. To me, Necromancy is an excellent example of engaged gameplay. If I want to be paying attention and tracking things, I dislike the way that I have to search through my buff bar to find them. I am with you on that 100%. They make it hard to have that engaged gameplay, but they like the information I need to make the choices that I need to make in my engaged gameplay, I don't have that information at all times. But if I did, right, using this Alt-1 UI thing I haven't installed yet, but I probably will, to be honest, right? At this point, it doesn't look like we're getting something immediately. Like, if I have this information, it's lean-in gameplay that adds engagement to the combat style. It's not just click and forget. It's mm-hmm. not the old-school combat. It's not Legacy, which does still exist, and especially with the other styles, is functional.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's Necromancy was, we want combat to be combat. We want it to feel like you are fighting with something. It's not. It shouldn't feel like fighting with the UI, but it's to me, it should be engaging gameplay. And Necromancy is definitely, you have to be engaged as a gameplay style for it.
But you are fighting with the UI, right?
Don't get me wrong. I hate that. That's entirely separate from...
I don't think that's wrong, and I think it's a valid choice, right? And I think a lot of this... But like that's not what's being... I mean, I don't think that was communicated, and I don't think it is communicated to the skill very well, right? Like, that's not...
That it should be an engage, like, lean-in style?
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. It doesn't...
That's, I mean, our other lean-in skills that are do the same thing over and over, looking to agility, like...
I feel like it kind of does that, because you start off, you know, doing Revolution in the tutorial, and... You know, for your first few kills, but then as soon as you take it to Hermod,
Revolution
can
take a lot of that leaning out if you let it.
And you take Revolution to Hermod, and it's fine. But then you get to a point where you're taking Revolution into Raziel or anywhere you're doing a living death rotation. At that point, you pretty much want to be full manual. Yeah. And it doesn't like say it on the tin, but that's the sense I get from the skill.
And
I have two ability bars, Shane.
I mean, I use two ability bars.
I even have two ability bars.
I use two ability bars.
I should clarify. I have two different Revolution bars, and I use Shift Z and Shift X when I'm in my Living Death rotation. I remove the abilities that Living Death does not buff, and I have a separate ability bar. That's what I mean when I say use two ability bars.
No.
Because you can still Revolution it with Living Death, but you have to specifically change your bar for it.
Yeah.
And you can keybind that.
Yeah.
But even so.
I had another fault and I forgot it. So
yeah, same. But that's not good.
You're
old.
I don't think it's necessarily bad for that engagement to be there. Oh, that's what my fault. But you can be fully engaged with the other combat skills, right? Like the other combat skills. I mean, not to the same extent as Necromancy,
right?
And maybe in that respect, Necromancy is a evolution. On magic or ranged or whatever,
but
on the other styles.
I'm going to say
but
something.
The other
I'm going to say
the
something
engagement,
that,
but
that,
it requires switches.
Yeah, and I'm going to say something that the combat elitists of the other styles are going to maybe take issue with. The engagement for magic ranged in melee is the following. Magic, it's 4-tick auto-attacking. Ranged, it's using your Bow of the Last Guardian and planning your rotation down to be tick perfect.
And things, yeah.
For melee, it's juggling 5 switches. That's what the engagement for the other three styles is.
Okay, so let's not talk about the switches, right? Like, even if you ignore it, that's two combat styles that have some level of active gameplay, and they only use adrenaline. So I find it a hard sell that you need 3 additional resources in a skill to make high engagement work and be fun. And that's the thing. And this is on release, right? That's the thing that scares me. If it's
I don't think they're adding more resources. I don't think they're adding more, though. That's the thing. It's like they're not going to suddenly start adding 5 other different kinds of stacks. I don't think that's likely.
They need to add new abilities at some point. They will.
Yeah, but they can use abilities that spend and use the stacks we already have, or just use adrenaline, right? Like,
I hope so.
I don't see a reason for them to add more. I think that's a little doomsayer.
I see a reason for them to not add more.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Or I thought you were going to say you see a reason for them to add more and put it on Treasure Hunter.
Anyways, before we get into that,
that's like giving anybody any ideas.
This is sort of and we talked about this with rituals, and we talked about this with combat, and I feel that when I really like something, it's usually so simple it's elegant, right? Like, its elegance lies in its simplicity, and necromancy doesn't hit that mark for me.
You wanted them to effectively take a combat style and remove the headphone jack, then.
Go away, Shane. I'm trying to make my point here, and you know my memory is shit. No, but, like, I don't think you can find elegance in complexity. Like, I honestly think that the skill needed a little bit longer in a design oven to just try and find the creative solutions that don't require
all the resources.
The current... Well, it feels like the entire skill consists of a lot of different aspects that are sort of glued together. And I wonder... I haven't done the effort myself, but I have the feeling that there's like one missing bit, and if they had that, the whole thing would just feel more elegant and complete. And right now, there's a certain certain togetherness missing in the skill.
You're making the argument that, like, Soul Sap could have just not been there. The style could have had 2 basics at launch instead of 3. And, like, Soul Barrage and Soul Strike, or Volley of Souls and Soul Strike, before I do that again, are, like, they could have just been adrenaline costers or something.
Yeah.
Like, right, that's the idea, is that they could have just used existing systems.
I mean, we're now at the point where conjures don't take adrenaline anymore.
They shouldn't have to begin with. But
so yeah. They shouldn't have to begin with, in which case there's not that much interaction with adrenaline comparatively. So, yeah, why is necrosis...
Counterpoint, there's a lot of interaction with adrenaline, given that necromancy has a ton of abilities that don't create it.
Okay.
It's fair. Soul, Volley of Souls and Soul Strike and all of your conjure abilities neither create nor destroy adrenaline now. Yeah. And that means you can go a long time where you're like, oh yeah, I'm one basic ability away from being able to activate my next special or Finger of Death, and you can just go without getting that one bit of adrenaline you need.
Yeah.
That's like, that part of it is, again, those things that spend those other stacks don't generate the stacks that you might like. That is, you could say that's lean in game,
but now it's,
you could also say that it's
like
not beginner friendly, right?
It feels a little bit weird that there's sort of isolated system. It's almost like 3 different designers were given a third of the abilities to design. I know this is not the case, right? But that's how you could explain it. Like, there's 3 different abilities, like 3 different categories of abilities, 3 different designers designing this. They come together and they all came up with a stack.
I mean, I see that as, because each of the basic abilities is a stacker, right? There's only the like basic ability, which is...
And that stacks adrenaline.
Which, right. And then there's the 2, the one that stacks adrenaline and necrosis, and the one that stacks adrenaline and souls. Like that's, and maybe they looked at it and said, okay, we need to have some kind of more basics. It can't just be sacrifice and the basic attack. Or and Tuska's Wrath, right? Like, there's three. Yeah. There's right, like,
yeah,
because Tuska's Wrath and the other one are actually worse than the regular basic attacks. So, like, huh? But
yeah, no, and like, it's hard that there's arguments in favor of having more resources to manage, and I'm not against that fundamentally. I just feel that there are so many layers of complexity built in that, combined with the UX. Problems. Let's call them problems.
You're saying it's a little too lean in. It requires too much attention. It there's too much skill in the skill. Is that the argument? Am I putting words in your mouth? Yes.
Yes, you are putting words in my mouth. I think it can be like, and this is the thing, right? Like when I complained about this the first time to Shane, he was like, "Yes, but there needs to be skill expression." And
is it too much?
Here I'm going to make a counter argument, right? That you don't need complexity for skill expression by telling you how many people are streaming and doing complex things for old school, right? Like, sure, there's social streams, but there's a lot of skills of people doing high feats of skill in
their
a combat
things are
system.
Don't make the old school argument. Their things are complex only because they have to know exactly which tile to stand on underneath the monster to make the monster move in the right way. Which tile is the safe spot based on every single spawn. They have calculators up on their screen for the next wave in the Inferno. Their complicated combat things is, like, they have to be tick perfect on their prayer switching. And their prayer switching has to happen before the thing attacks. So they have to know what's coming next before the animation comes out. These are awful design elements. Awful, atrocious design elements.
And for some, but like,
and
also at the same
because
time,
because you don't know what's happening.
Right. And the thing is, maybe the old school people just has better, old school people are just better personality creators, right? Maybe people just enjoy watching them more.
It's a what I'm, bigger what I'm, population.
Like, I,
EOC killed.
I agree that complexity in old school is probably not the right type of complexity. That was not the argument I'm trying to make.
Okay.
I'm just trying to make that the argument I'm trying to make is that people will always still find ways to be good and better than other people. And the game doesn't need to enable that. Like, I feel, okay, so I feel a little bit like the game was like, I'm going to have three different stackers so that people who want to keep track of free stackers, right? And want to be good and lean in, can do it. The thing is, I'm lazy, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want to, but it feels bad if I don't. Mm. You're saying it isn't actually bad. You can ignore most of these things.
Yeah,
and I believe you, but it feels bad, right?
Okay.
Because it's right there.
I mean, and the same thing with manual, though. For the other styles, it's right there. You could be more active.
I can't explain it, right?
Okay.
I can't explain it why manual doesn't feel like the same level of I must do it. Like it, I think Revolution is just more. Revolution isn't taking things away, right? It doesn't feel like you're taking things away. It does it, but it's presented as a tool, right? Whereas not caring about soul stacks is literally seeing it right there and ignoring it.
And I will say that if you use the Finger of Death or you use your Volley of Souls when you're not 100% charged up, you miss one of those cues, you're back to zero and you got to restart your generation process there. And in the case of Finger of Death, you're penalized heavily and dearly for that because you fire off this ability then that uses 60% of your adrenaline.
Right. I mean, you're not as punished as dearly anymore with all of the adrenaline costers gone from your summons. Like, if you're not doing a living death rotation, congratulations, you don't have a lot of adrenaline spenders
true,
anymore.
You don't need to worry about
like,
that.
Like, Finger of Death is way more reasonable to have on your bar now because you can still keep the ghost up 100% of the time and have Finger of Death on your bar. Yeah. Like, Finger of Death is no longer because that was probably the thing a couple weeks ago was like, hey, if you have Finger of Death on your bar, like, it does really good damage. If you don't need the heals from ghost, it's totally reasonable to have Finger of Death on your bar. But if you do need those heals, if you have the things that you want to have up, like Death Skulls, the things like it's gonna cause problems.
And
it is.
I think
and
what
not
we're
not as much anymore.
Right, and what it, and it's weird how this rotation into resource juggling has all kind of meshed together in terms of the grand discussion here, because I think if we're gonna pick one thing for the majority of people to say, necromancy might not necessarily be as smooth as it could be in terms of combat, it's probably the combination of these two things.
Right.
Yeah, I think for me, it feels bad having to ignore mechanics that are like the point of the skill, right? Like,
right.
It's like, and that to me has made me, oh, I need to pay attention to all of these things. UX problems, it's hard to pay attention. Like, it's like an accumulation of things, right? I'm not saying the design is fundamentally flawed, but I think there's a contribution of multiple factors that, to me, all make it a little bit overwhelming. And at this point, I'm like, I just don't.
And,
right?
And you know,
I
one
struggle
thing,
managing adrenaline.
One thing I still haven't been able to find is I haven't been able to find somebody who left with EOC or slightly after and came back with necromancy and experienced that. I haven't found that person yet. If you're in the audience, let us know. I want to talk to you. Because
there's
got to
be some old school players. There's got to be some old school players
that would
left
be,
for the EOC.
I think a legit fun discussion to have. You left because of EOC. Does necromancy make it better or worse? Yeah. So
right.
And,
or not change it at all.
Yes.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's not the point and click claim play it used to be.
And there's just so
that's,
much.
I mean,
it's not.
I mean,
it is 100% point and click.
That's what people got were upset about when it came to PVM. There were, and this was the weirdest thing to watch over the last 3 months, is that you had two camps, people who were very happy to see this excess power come into PVM, who said that, yes, this made me able to PVM. But on the other side of it, you had people who said, no, I'm sorry, you just weren't putting in the effort beforehand. It wasn't necromancy. You could do that with magic. Mm-hmm. And both of those things are, you know, two different camps of what people say. But I think at the end of the day, there is no denying it that necromancy did become the skill that put out the most damage for the least input, which caused huge amounts of gear prices to drop for the other styles, which is good. I mean, we've been saying before we wanted all the other fun toys to become more accessible. And
yes,
the thing that we have to wait and see, of course, and I don't want to, you know, belabor this point too much, is we don't know where necromancy is going to land after the beta changes for the other styles come in, because we're getting that beta next week. On that's bringing in another collection of changes, like
changes
and max hit changes and so on and so forth. So
I don't want to double on it, but that's a thousand foot level looking down. That is a humongous power creep. Like having crits do three times, get three times as much bonus damage as they did before at base. Even before you're adding in like accuracy things, killing ingenuity
right.
of the humans, and the other issues that they're going to have to sort out.
And
like,
we could be here 2 weeks from now saying...
We will be here.
That necromancy is now on par with magic. We could be here saying that. We don't know where things are
going to
land.
Necromancy is going to be... If the other styles get that crit buff, especially with magic in particular, with the amount of bonus it gets to extra critical chance, just from its ring and from everything else, magic... Just with that crit buff alone should outdo necromancy, and it should not be close. We'll see, though. We'll see what happens.
And with that, you have to wonder, was this a big splash that was caused by necromancy being the fun toy coming in? And how do we feel about necromancy after the fact? And maybe we should just press pause and just, you know, make the first 15 minutes of the show this week. Show and come back and do this in 3 weeks when we know. I'm kidding.
we're going to come back to it in 3 weeks. Like, we will be talking about the combat beta as the feedback from that rolls in and we have things to say about it.
I mean, at the very least, until they've added the shield switch, it had achieved stopping switch escape.
No, but you still don't need to use that shield because you have bone shield. if you really want to go that way.
Right, but like, you know, I'm sorry. I never thought how many outfits you can put on as a expression of skill unless you are freaking a model and
a quick change, right?
Yeah. Sorry.
Go, Sirion, quick change right now. You have something you can take off on top there. There. See? Done. Switch scape. But
be glad I'm wearing a hoodie and not just a t-shirt.
Yeah, I wouldn't ask you to do that otherwise, though. But necromancy did have an effect on PVM, and I'm wondering where this all lands at the end of the day. And unfortunately, that requires the combat beta. And I think in total, when we look at the lasting impact of necromancy, right now with where we're at, the big question that comes into mind, and this is an important one, I think, for Tanis and maybe Sirion too. I don't know, depending. Like, how would you describe your PVM aptitude, Sirion, before necromancy?
My PVM aptitude.
Yeah.
Before a necromancy.
Yeah.
I don't know how to respond to that.
Well, like beginner, intermediate.
Oh.
Slayer player.
I don't think I was a beginner. Like, I knew the basics. But, like, I wasn't experienced. Like, most of my knowledge is theoretical.
Okay.
Like, I just don't have the finger agility to, like, hit the right buttons at the right time.
And my question
is, I got that
is,
part down.
Does necromancy accomplish its goal of making combat easier to learn in that case? And this is mainly, you know, asked towards you, Tanis and Sirion here at this point.
It, much like our presence, so nothing fundamentally changed. I'm not like the world's, I mean, everyone knows I'm not a great PVMer. I can do things up to a Raxer. I mean, I think I'm pretty freaking amazing for a blind guy, but, you know, not the same bar. Same, and it's the same thing. I can do all the things that I could do before. I can still do. Maybe a little, you know, maybe even, well, no, I mean, it's actually about the same when it comes to food and all that. So, yeah, and I can't do anything that I couldn't do before.
Hmm.
So it's
just kind of remain static then.
Yeah, and I mean, love it for Slayer and love it for regular combat and stuff. But that's just I love it more stylistically than I do for any mechanical reason.
Right. That makes sense. And I think for Thaxia myself, we kind of got what we were expecting in this, right? Like it was a nice step up in power, but it didn't really. We didn't need that on ramp.
It revamped the threshold system to not require you to have a specific amount of adrenaline already to cast them, which is always been an annoyance to me. It revamped some of the, like, conjures are interesting and impactful for combat, but they're not, you know, the be all end all. They won't fight for you. Like I got pretty much what I was expecting out of the style. Like it's got some things that are different, and they've tried some new stuff, and I've appreciated most of the kind of the differences as they are. It functioned as I expect it should.
Yeah,
to be honest, it does the damage I kind of expected.
And when you put that all together, you know, you're still dealing with the RS combat system at the end of the day, and if you're comfortable with that, you'll be fine with necromancy. I think that's how you have to square that. And
one,
go ahead.
Yeah, one thing that I really appreciate about necromancy, right, is that it's very accessible in terms of you don't need to buy a bunch of gear and a bunch of abilities, right? Like, you don't need to, like, a lot of rotations kind of rely on you getting, like,
the Zeit Cape.
Well, not necessarily Zuckcape, but like other abilities. Like I was doing Carapac back in the day with like, what was it? Like ranged or magic, I think. And I think somebody told me, oh, you need to get like greater concentrate at last because without that, you're doing worthless damage, right? Like, yeah, that probably was you. Yes. Like things like that, you're kind of forced to go and do a bunch of upfront investments to even get to the point where you can look into doing some high level PVM. Necromancy, sort of. You can do it, but like you will never get to a point where you're close to efficient and all that. Necromancy is different. Like you can get all of it yourself, right?
With that said, you do have to do a little bit. Like you got to earn that fire cape to get that tier 90 weapon unlock. Like yes, you know you got to do some God Wars too.
Right?
Right? You do it yourself. It's totally
and the onboarding for it, the damage you put out with the style and the like, it's all very reasonable. It's such an Like, we talked about this, too. It's a good onboarding to the PVM side of the game.
That's exactly what I was going to say. That step from Jad to Kiln to Zuck and everything in between, the God Wars, the QBD, and so forth. That's all done masterfully with necromancy.
And you could do it purely with necromancy, right? Like, that's the nice thing. Yes. Like, it's all designed.
I did it purely with I did not have any gear for any other style.
Yeah,
I did
so, like, that's the nice thing, right? Like, you can be completely self-sufficient in this, like all of it. Like you have to even do these bosses, right? Like it forces you to go and do the bosses to get the high level gear.
Mm-hmm. In necromancy, which, you have to do necromancy
with necromancy, like and that to me is a huge boon to the skill, right? Like that's I went and did next. Well, I ran around not dying. Well, Shane did next, let's be honest, but like I went to next for the first time. I'm going to have to do the ambassador for the first time in not story mode. You know, things like that, it's going to encourage, it's going to have make me do Araxor, which I've never done before, right? It's going to make me do them. I'm going to be able to do them because necromancy is like, it's sort of designed that it's good enough to do for me to do it with that level of gear, with that level of experience.
Next, I think is a little challenging if you're not used to it. And the ambassador, I had to do trio for the ambassador. Yeah. I didn't even try solo. I think probably could have, but that's a level of skill.
We pulled
I
Duo like, off.
To the journey, you sort of
we did
the
Duo,
game forces you to build confidence. It's telling you at this stage, with the level of gear you have, without
you
buying anything new, you can do it. Yeah. And you go and do it. And actually, it's not so bad.
And I want to just say how big and important this is, that if there's going to be one success story of necromancy we're going to focus on, I want it to be this one.
Yeah. Killy tasks were a masterstroke. Like, and again, I did this, and when I did it with a Dragon Rider amulet, and like, I had nothing. I literally, the gear that I was wearing, my death cost, when I died, I think I had a death to Nex or something. At some point, I screwed up. I think I died to an ice prison. My death cost me 3K. That's how cheap my gear was. Like, and that's it. That's what you need. That's
crazy. Even at this point now, my death costs were only approaching 60-odd K. I haven't looked at what they are since I got the tier 95 gear, but with the tier 90 stuff, it's only like 60K. So
The
only downside I see of this particular thing is it's a little bit too little too late because I think the large portion of the RuneScape audience doesn't need this. Right?
We don't need the onboarding to PVM. But for people that did, it's a good, you know...
Yeah.
It's a good change in that direction where it's an encouragement. It's the like, well, I've been meaning to do it forever. And like it's the same idea as the quest, right? They said that the number of people that were killing the necromancy bosses, like, was more than they would expect given it was just a newly released boss. Like Zamorak has so few kills.
Yeah.
But because they did the questing on it, they said that because they did these quests that made you kill them in story mode, they said, oh yeah, I did the mechanics for that. Like I know it's gonna be harder, but I can do it. Yeah. I've seen it. It like removes so much of that barrier to have been forced to go and do one kill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And to say, hey, it's not as scary.
And that's the success story of necromancy.
I'm going to, because I know we need to bring this to a conclusion. I know I've been complaining a lot.
Didn't you also want to mention something on the player numbers and retention with this?
Yeah, it's a problem, but I don't want to focus on that because I have one question that I want to ask Faxi and Shane specifically, because you both, and maybe Tanis as well, which you all seem to like the skill, right? I don't hate it.
New toy.
My question is, was it worth it? For what we got out of it, was it worth taking up the slot of a skill release?
Yes.
That is my question.
I would say that it's a big enough fundamental change to the game. And it's, they did a lot of steps, regardless of whether you think it was all of the steps, but they took a lot of steps towards fixing the issues in the combat system with the other styles.
Right.
I think that having this as an option and having it as that onboard, like you're saying, and having it as that accessible gear, like Tanis is saying, I think all of these are good. And I think that there's, like archaeology, to some degree, there's a room for growth. There's room to add things to it, to add new ritual sites, to add new gear and drops. And there is both reward space and content space in the game related to the skill that I think it added enough options for that I would say is worth it.
Okay.
So I have a little bit of a, that might be hot take, I guess.
Do it.
So I think it was worth it, but I think we could have had necromancy as a non-combat skill. I think it did things.
Okay. Like a support skill.
And because it didn't fundamentally change the combat, and everything that it fixed could have been done in an existing way.
Already. We could have had old school thralls as conjurers. We could have had darkness just as a like alternative to animate dead from melee and range. We could have had like it could have been the Archaeus spellbook to use the old school option. Like yeah. it could have just had a lot of these things.
They could have done the crit changes.
They could have added a necromancy equivalent ability that like use, you know, they could have added the soul strike abilities to range. They could, or magic. They could have added like the necrosis deck. Like they could have dispersed it out to the other styles and said, here's better stuff as a support role.
And that's fair. I would have been just as happy. Right. Like,
right.
Yeah. I just,
it's a different universe. In some universe out there, that's what happened. And we are having a very different conversation about the things we're upset about.
So that's precisely why.
That's totally true.
Why it's not a no-brainer for me to say yes to your question. I mean, it's good. I like it. I've had fun with it. Am I going to continue doing PVM as I have been for the last 3 months? I don't think so.
You're not.
I don't think so. No.
Interesting.
I'm going to finish my Raziel log and probably be done. See what Vorkath is like, but
presumably Vorkath. We still don't know. No, we do at this point, don't we? But
And that's the thing.
You're still going to do like Reapers and things, though, right? Like you're not like you'll still do a Reaper occasionally.
Oh, but before Necromancy, I hadn't done a Reaper since January.
I'm proud of you. This is growth. Dailies are the worst.
So
hot take.
But and see, that's the thing. I can't jump up and down yes as if it was archaeology. It's good. I like it. But if you present me another skill that does something else.
Shamanism.
Yeah,
sailing.
Not sailing.
It's coming. Speaking of old school RuneScape, leagues.
Yeah, that's
podcast for another day.
That's right. Well, do we spill? No, never mind. Never
mind. No beans.
We're leaving this in the show, and that'll be enough. Move along.
Yeah, we're leaving that there. Anything else on necromancy? I mean, we could talk about retention and whatnot, and I don't know if that's something necessarily fair to compare because it's Starfield.
Yeah, like I could answer my own question from a very objective perspective. Is it worth it if you look at the player numbers? Oh god, I don't have the numbers. I sent them to you, right, Shane?
You did. Like, they're in our DM somewhere.
Yeah. Oh god, I did the math, right? Where we looked at archaeology, obviously huge spike, but we don't care about the spike, right?
But
Shush.
Pandemic.
I know the pandemic makes things a little bit incomparable, right? Like, archaeology hit basically the week that the entire world...
It scratched an itch we all needed.
Down, right? I totally accept it, and that's why the numbers needed to be taken with a grain of salt.
Yeah.
But if you look at the initial spike, how big that is, and then how much of that spike remained after a month, I think it was about a third, right? And the number of daily active players didn't hit the low from before archaeology until, like, I think August this year, right?
Yeah.
That's archaeology is worth it from that perspective. But, you know, lockdown, who knows?
Right.
Necromancy. Necromancy. The number of players after the peak subsided is about a sixth lower than before necromancy. Now, that thing happened.
Yeah.
It starts September. With H and ends with Aeropass, which might have been an effect. But if you look at the numbers, they don't look great.
Yeah, and I mean, Jagex has the... Yeah, and we don't have the crystal ball because they have the metrics inside that can tell them if people are logging off because of necromancy, because of hero pass, because they want to be outside sort of thing, right?
Well, what time of the year is it, too? We're getting to the age where either players are going back to school or players' kids are going back to school.
Yeah.
Right? Like, oh my god. That's the thing is that, like, the skill came out right before the school year started. Yeah. We all played it for a month and then the spike.
And that's
wore
the thing that you and I talked about, Sirion, in June, is that we said August doesn't make sense.
May is a great skill time release.
It is the worst possible time for any release.
Archaeology did a lot of things right, and that was one of them. And, like, I'm interested, again, like you're saying, there are metrics about how much of this is expected, and specifically to me is how many people who have been playing for a long time, how many lapsed players came back from necromancy, like what is that sixth that's missing? I'm sure they have data on play and style. From
anecdotally, though, I remember my DMs after archaeology, they weren't the same after necromancy.
You didn't have the excited people who are, hey, I'm back to the game, tell me what I should be. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. That's true.
Yeah.
And look, I can come up with all kinds of explanations, right? Like, I can say, oh, those people would have come back. They already did Fresh Start Worlds, and they're not going to come back within a year. Like, I can come up with all kinds of excuses. We don't have the full picture. It just, the fact that the number of players is lower than before the release, it must mean something, right? Like, it...
There were a lot of things that went on that could have decreased the player base and obfuscated.
Well, I mentioned Starfield.
50 cent word. I mean, right, there's other games coming out. I mean, you could make the argument for archaeology that Animal Crossing had just come out.
Hey, but you could do that at the same time as archaeology.
That's two idle clickers at once. Too powerful, Siri, and I don't know about that one. Gotta be careful with that kind of info.
All right.
I didn't want to attach too much meaning to it.
Yeah.
But
it had to be mentioned.
It's something to be said.
And I'd like to say this is the end of our coverage on necromancy, but given what's coming next week, it won't be. I do have the idea for a couple more necromancy themed episodes. So, as somebody once said, the adventure continues.
In a couple of weeks, when these the first big changes have hit, we will also probably get back to working on a micro lesson. That script has been sitting out there, and we've been waiting for changes, and some things will need to be like changed from it because of the changes. So
yeah.
But it's coming to tell you, at least kind of as much as we can, simplify the skill down into what you need to know and how it should be used.
Yeah. All right. I do have a couple quick patch notes this week. Remove the light source protection buff from the ensouled and regular pumpkin masks for Iron Man. The party pumpkins and smashing pumpkins have been made bigger.
Thank God.
And the holiday portal located in Prif now teleports the player to an ongoing holiday event. Some might have forgot existed.
They forgot to link it to the fort.
Yeah. Protean Essence was broken with the Protean Processor between level 72 and 76 of runecrafting, interestingly enough.
Cool.
Love how specific that is. Sometimes I just wish to see the code that was
how did that happen? But also, what happened at those runecrafting levels? Like, is that... That's right before... What is it? Yeah, blood is at 77, 5 water into 76. Like,
I mean, I'm guessing they scaled the EXP, right, based on your runecrafting level, and I think that number was just funky.
Armadil runes are at 72. That's why it was broken. Because it was trying to craft armadil runes. And it couldn't. Armadil runes are 72, and then 77 is blood runes. So 72 to 76 is it was trying to catch. That's funny. It's what that is.
That's wonderful.
That's a you done goofed. All right.
Also, you done goofed added an option to reset slider puzzles to resolve puzzles that are broken from the login lockout.
It's a little overdue.
Whoa.
I'm sure there's probably like 10 people out there who love clues and have a clue alt at this point who are now like, I can do clues on my main again. Yeah. Not have to drop their hard clues every time they get that specific slider puzzle.
And overhead emotes can now be placed on the action bar.
Yay. I can give people random hearts in chat with a keybind now instead of having to actually go into my emote interface. That's nice.
We went through that last week, but we'll say it again. Wonderful reward space.
Yes, I'm like more pleased, just like this, and make
it
them
feels
also
so
cost
Asian, right? Like it's Asian games do this all
it's,
over the place.
It's pop-ups, yeah.
These pop-ups, and like, I can't blame them though. I love it, absolutely love it.
I am a fan of the space.
All right, we do have some achievements this week. Actually, start us off.
Yes, we do. Starting off with the Lucky Ducky with 120 Herblore on October 24th, and Ozazoya with 120 Necromancy also on October 24th. We had Lord Earth, God bless you, Reed, with 99 Necromancy on October 23rd. I saw him grinding that out. I hope he's enjoying his undead army. Congratulations. And we had Roladude with 99 Necromancy on October 23rd.
Nicely done. We also have Delta Polo with 120 farming on October 22nd. Nice to see those still coming in. Elder Onyx with 120 construction and Mej Quest with 99 Slayer.
Excellent. Crazy Legs 722 got 120 invention on October 20. Pony Picker got 120 mining on October 20. And another 120 farming by Swabush on October 20th as well. And then finally, Anzilla got 99 Necromancy on October 19.
Woo! Congratulations, everybody!
Nicely done, nicely done.
Good job.
Pick of the week time. I feel like I've been monopolizing picks of the week, but I have one this week, and this is kind of a duo pick of the week with Sirion. And this is a web series that he actually introduced me to. It's called Jetlag the Game. And the idea behind it is that you got a number of people who are playing games focused around where the game is actually getting from point A to point B. They've done interesting things like playing tag across Europe 2 times. They played Capture the Flag in Japan. New Zealand became a board game, and they played Connect Four with the American States. And I wasn't sure what to think going in, but you mentioned it, and you know, it's what has been going in the background between level 90 and 150 necromancy. So it's quite fun. I don't know what you want to say about it.
Yeah, I mean, I just enjoy it. I mean, it's sort of a spin-off of a channel that makes sort of explainer videos, mostly around logistics. I mean, have you met me? Love logistics. they basically came up with this crazy idea, and they have been iterating ever since. Like, typically it's sort of a increasing line. Like each season they come up with like something new, and it's even more fun as well. Love the one where they did like a race around the world in 72 hours or 80 hours, I guess, if you want.
Around the world in 80 days becomes around the world in 80 hours.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it was basically a race where they And it's not just about finding routes, but it's also they have to sort of earn coins to do the flights and do all kinds of exercises. It makes for hilarious moments. I think it's cut really well. It's paced really well. And I just love seeing the situation of transportation in different countries. You know, I've been to Japan, so I recognize that.
Yeah, the Japan one was interesting.
But just the way they get around, like if it is in the US, they're flying everywhere, right? But across Europe, it's trains. It's trains, right? Mm-hmm. It's all trains and public transit. So I love seeing the difference. And overall, it's just good fun. They are just having good fun together. And I'm kind of jealous I don't get to play games flying around the world and doing silly, goofy things like that.
Well, that's... I mean... Have they went anywhere other than like Japan or the U.S.? You know, like wouldn't it be a real test of skill? But I'm talking about like transportation. Let's see how you do in New Delhi when you're on a bicycle with four chickens in front of you and moped on one side and a semi on the other. I'll see how that goes.
It's a different world.
They're filming another season right now, but I don't think they're in India.
No, they posted something on Instagram where they're in Alaska. So we'll see what they came up with this time.
Yeah, youtube.com/jetlag, the game. It's also a Nebula series as well, which I might talk about as pick of the week again another day. Just kind of a way of making YouTube videos without the need to be overly sensationalist and overly clickbaity. I don't know if you guys have heard of them, but that's a pick of the week for another week. But definitely, you know, I think the closest thing on actual TV to this is probably The Amazing Race, but I think in many ways this is better than The Amazing Race.
Oh, that's cool, because that's what it was reminding me of, and we used to watch that. So, cool.
Maybe give a watch then. Sirion, which one would you say Tanis should watch first?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think the Japan one was fun because it's a pretty close one. Like some of the rounds are, you know, pretty decided early on. The last one I did in the US, I forgot how it's called. That one was pretty good as well.
Race to the Most States, I believe that was.
Yeah, Race by the Most States, where they basically had to, yeah. That one is also pretty good.
Yeah, that one would probably be a good one because it kind of like shows at home and whatnot about how that would look. So.
And then I would tag season one is one of my all-time favorites because it's so different because all of a sudden it's trains.
And cool. And in your backyard in Europe, so.
Yeah.
Alrighty, let's talk briefly about what we've been doing then before we wrap up. Tanis, since Sierra
gathering some wood, smashing a pumpkin when I catch them. They're easier to catch now, which is nice, but that's about it.
Okay, Daxi.
I've been logging in to do my dailies pretty much every day. I am level 118 on the Herapest. That'll be done probably tonight, to be honest. Whenever I get the weekly done, or tomorrow morning when I get tomorrow's dailies. That's been a lot of it. And then for me, it's been a lot of comprex. My necromancy progress has stalled a little bit because I've taken the time to like get the perks for the elder arrows and like do the new quest and enjoy all of that stuff. And done a good bit of fire making. Just again slowly doing the pet grind. Got my I've done a handful of rituals. I'm trying to think, what else have I been doing recently? What are my big grinds for comp and stuff? I'm slowly working on doing a lot of POF, doing a lot of player-owned farms, actually. Making sure I go to those at least daily to collect babies and get stuff growing for beans, because Shane, don't hate me, I don't want to do herb runs, so I'm just going to grow them all with beans. So I'm collecting a whole bunch of beans to get that turmeric out of the way to to buy everything out of the herb lore shop. That's been it. It's just been a lot of catching up on the grinds. We're down to just a couple. Oh, I did a ton of Slayer. That's what I've been doing. I've done a ton of Slayer.
I finished collecting all my heads for the guardhouse. I've probably done a little over 100 tasks with necromancy now. Often minimum length just to like get things moving, get points up. But all of the, like, I collected the last of the souls from the raptor monsters for the Dmargos Undead for refilling that. So my comp and shroom wrecks are down to pretty much just clues. Oops. And the herb runs and getting 120 necromancy back.
Right on, right on. As for me, I've been doing a bit of necromancy as well in terms of rituals, but not too much of that. I've also been with that working on the Raziel log still. I might give that a pause until the changes come in next week just to kind of, you know, smooth things out with the ghost. But yeah, it's nice in the span of 3 days making still, you know, like 800 mil from the boss in terms of drops.
Just for the record, this is not representative of other people because Shane has crazy RNG luck.
He's hitting the drop rate.
That was a main hand and the hand piece and a crown over the span of about 3 days. So, but
yeah, he's not normal.
No. But Sirion?
I did the kiln with necromancy. Yay! That was something I knew I had to do sooner or later, and I was putting that off.
Zuck
and
next.
Putting it off.
Yeah, Zuck's
putting
it easy.
Off. I know Zuck's next. I've never even attempted it with any stuff.
You're going to be surprised at how not bad it is. Just stand in the corner, stand in the right corner, yeah.
I did kill
very slow and steady as well, by the way. I was like, I'm going to take monsters one at a time. I'm gonna save
Do you know what your time was for at the end of it?
52 minutes.
Not bad.
It was a PB.
It's not bad.
So it was honestly, it's not so bad. I just forgot one of the jads. That almost went bad.
That'll happen.
But I did it. It's really not so bad. Necromancy is, you know... I did not optimize
and that's,
it.
And that's, again, that true story of necromancy coming through.
Well, yeah. Kiln in particular, because kiln, if you're using the incorrect style of the triangle, you do 50% damage. Necromancy ignores that 50% reduction.
Exactly.
And does full damage to everything.
You can still wear... I wore full obsidian armor with the Death Dealer head. And honestly, that you take so little damage overall.
Yeah.
I think I brought...
The ghost now heals it.
I think I bought a yak full with silfish. I think
Didn't
I might it. Have eaten one or two out of that inventory. Like, it's fine overall. I could probably have done better if I had paid more attention. So, definitely not so bad. So, I got that cape. I'm really happy with that.
Yay!
Next is going to be, Zuck. I'm going to definitely delay that until after the upcoming changes. We'll see. I'm not super confident about that one yet. I think Araxa are probably first before doing Zuck.
Yeah.
But we'll see. I want to have at least level 90 power.
Yeah.
Armor.
Yeah, you want that.
Let us know how it goes. Honestly, take the tank armor for Zuck. Like,
I'm still at my level 70 tank armor because I haven't been bothered doing the God West one.
Also
function.
Also fair. Yeah.
There is one more thing on this episode.
Oh.
What did we forget, Shane?
This Sunday, thereabouts, the pilot episode for Old School RSBNB Update is launching.
Yay!
Back to first principles, audio only, Old School RSBNB Update. Discussing Old School RuneScape, coinciding, of course, with leagues. Sirion and I will be the co-host on that, and it's going to be an interesting run through that to see just where everything lands with that. So even if you don't play Old School, come along, join us, see how it goes. If you do play Old School, welcome aboard.
We will be freaking out about all of the things.
We've been working on this behind the scenes for, I mean, we've been talking
forever.
About it for longer, but like for 2 weeks or so, we've been really working at this. And the thing
you guys have been talking about it since like last year. It's been on the table for a long time, and leagues are just a really good excuse to really kickstart it. So
yes, I love the fact like we've gone to the show and tried coming up with like show structure, and I love that we have thrown. Not that I hate this show, right? This one will always be my first, but I love the fact that we are, you know, taking risks, trying something completely different, and I'm really excited for it because it's going to be.
Yeah, it's not going to be a carbon copy of the RSBNB update, you know. It'll be the same
absolutely
people
not.
And the same caliber of analysis, but it's going to be an entirely different format.
Yeah.
Right.
So,
yeah.
Interested to see what people think of that. And hey, depending on how it goes, maybe some of those things will come down to this show, but they don't need to. This will always be, of course, as Sirion mentioned, the first show, and this is our time to step and put our feet forward and go out and swim after standing in the water for 9 months at this
poking
point.
At something new.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, of course, if you want RSBNB Update delivered automatically to you, the best way to do that is to subscribe. We're on all the podcast listeners out there, Apple Podcasts, Google, Pocket Casts, Spotify, and more. Just visit update.show/subscribe. And we're also on YouTube at youtube.com/RSBNB. That's where we post the video versions of the show, plus nibbles and sometimes shorts. And, you know, if you like what you see, definitely like and subscribe. It greatly helps the channel out. But with that, I don't think there's much else left to say on this episode. I feel like our necromancy experience is brought up to date about where we've been. So, of course, thank you to Sirion and Thaxi for joining us on this episode. And Tanis and I will be back next week for another episode of RSBNB Update. So until then, see you then. Take care.
Ciao.
Bye.
See ya.